You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, welcome to Scam Wow. I'm Caitlin Brodnick. I'm your host. I love scams and you love scams. We love scams. This is Scam Wow Podcast, and I am thrilled about this episode, you guys. I am speaking with an amazing group of guys who are just as obsessed, crazed, loving of, and fascinated by scams as I am. Today, our guests are Adam Levin, Beau Freelander, and Travis Taylor. All hysterical, funny, wonderful men from What the Hack with Adam Levin podcast. Guys, it's going to be amazing. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you again to all of our wonderful Patreon patrons. We have a bunch of fun new episodes coming out with pieces and extended cuts from our interviews. And I just can't thank you guys enough because it makes an enormous difference. If you want to look for us, we're on Patreon at Scamwell Podcast. You can also always call us if you have any scams that are happening, anything that's happened to you, our hot tip hotline, which is 347-509-9414. And I have to say a big thank you one more time for everyone who's given us a wonderful review. It means so much to me personally. It is like you're giving me an enormous virtual hug and saying, yes, Caitlin, life does go on. And no, you are not trash like that one review you just keep repeating over and over by yourself quietly at night. So these reviews do mean a lot to us. They not only help people find our podcast, they help Apple recommend it or wherever you're subscribed, recommend it to other listeners. And we can all just enjoy this big, huge scam train that we're all riding into the sunset. Guys, this is a really fun episode. I cannot wait to share it with you. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Enjoy! Guys, I'm so excited. We get to introduce the What the Hack podcast team members. We have Beau Freelander, Adam Levin, and Travis Taylor. Guys, welcome to Scam Wow.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Thank you so much. And it's just such a fun connection with both of our two worlds where we love hacks, we love scams, and I feel really lucky to be able to interview them today. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having us. Now, you like scams?
I'm obsessed with scams. I am quite the connoisseur of scams.
It's like the grand dam of scams.
Yes, we right? wish. I know. I really need that tattooed.
Well, one of the things I have to ask you, do you ever try to scam the people who scam you?
Well, I guess I have such a reverence for scams that I just shared on the last episode, someone scammed me very tactfully. They went onto my website, researched about me, and sent me a con to elicit me basically to send and pay the money for a gig that they were hiring me for. So in that case, when someone had done that much research, when they created a fake website of a college and all this stuff, I know that that's a scam I don't want to continue with and I don't want to fight with because they've done their homework and there's probably a company linked behind them. But a scam I would pull is recently on the same episode, I talked about how I got a painting that turns out to be worthless and I really want to sell it for something because I want to prove to myself it's not worthless and I want to make that money back. So kind of, yeah.
Well, that's why you should do a post on social media saying, I paid a lot of money for something that's worth nothing.
Yeah.
Please make me feel better by giving me something for that which is nothing that you can help make it something.
You should sell it as a NFT. That's kind of the entire basis of that business model.
Yes.
But the website one is creepy. The thing, you're right. Like when they've put a ton of effort into it, it's like when you walk by the house of the dude from Silence of the Lambs and one of those moths flies out. Yeah. You're like, just run.
There are warning signs with some con artists where you're like, the amount of work gone into your con, really into their existence sometimes, like the amount that they put behind it, a lot of times it's with those phone calls that, you know, those like random callers.
Yeah,
there's a whole company behind it. So in that case, I don't really want to mess with them.
I do mess with them. I do mess with them. So like, and I got...
Okay, yes. Please tell me, how do you mess with them?
Well, I got a... And they're dumb too. So I got an email saying that my Norton antivirus had been updated for an ungodly amount of money. And there was a phone number I could call if I wanted to challenge it. So I did. And the guy, you know, there's an order number and stuff. And I said, you know, well, what happened? I don't even use Norton antivirus. Yeah. And he said, well, yes, I see that you've been scammed. I'm going to need access to your computer to rectify this. Mind you, he never said, what's the order number? He never said, yes, I see your order number. He just went straight. He skipped a part of his script and went straight into the, like, I need access to your computer. So I said, as he was telling me where to go, I said, okay, so I just hit enter now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah. And I said, sir, this is the FBI and I'm going to need you to hold. So he hung up on me. 2 minutes later, he calls me back. Who is this?
Oh.
And I was like, who's this? And he was like, you called me. And I said, no. You called me and tried to scam me with the antivirus thing. And he hung up on me again. Then he came at me through WhatsApp. Then he came at me through Instagram. Then he came at me through email a few times. I got an SMS. So he figured out what my phone number was. If you think that you're anonymous, you're not.
I know.
You can be re-identified in a heartbeat. Just give me a couple of facts about you and boom, we'll find you.
Yeah, I think what gave Bo pause was when he called the guy, originally spoke to the guy and, you know, he said, yes, let me see your number. And yes, I get this. And then he said, and by the way, you're wearing a fabulous white T-shirt.
And it turns out it you were dating that person. It actually... you know so much about it because they're in your house.
The money part bugged me, you know, right away, so early in a relationship to be like,
hey, can I borrow 20?
Jesus.
So it's like, hi, very nice to meet you. Can I have 20?
Yeah, just come in.
Or the part where it goes, this call is happening within your house.
This date is going badly. Please give me $20.
But the first time I ever got scammed was like coming out of Grand Central Station.
Sure.
I was 18 probably, and I had a suitcase, and some dude came up and he was like, yo, let me help you with that suitcase. And I was like, no, I got it, man. And I, like, granted, I was a rather frail looking 18-year-old.
Maybe you did need help with the suitcase, but besides,
he just grabbed it and took it to this cab and he put it in the trunk of the cab. And I was like, I'm not taking a cab. And he was like, yeah, you are, man, get in the cab. So I got in the cab and he's like, you got to give me $20 to give the cab driver. And I was like, okay. And I handed him the $20 and he went across the street and I started to get out of the car and the taxi driver said, don't chase him. He'll stab you.
Well, good for that taxi driver for telling you.
No, he was in on the scam.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay.
Some people do such horrific things that part of me also goes, you know, if that person had just asked me for $20, I would have given it to him. I wouldn't have gone through the whole thing.
That's a very different level of thing, too. My friend Pastor Ann from Greenpoint Reformed Church walks around with $50 in singles. All
my husband
the
always has
time.
At least
And she, if
10.
Someone wants money, she'll just hand them a dollar. And if they need more than that, or she'll buy them a meal. But you know, this all reminds me of Toby the Rabbit. Remember, who remembers Toby the Bunny? Anyone on this call remember Toby the Bunny? Okay. Well, Toby the Bunny was one of the first GoFundMe scams. Okay. And it was before GoFundMe. It was on Facebook, as I recall, somewhere. I don't remember, but I think it might have been on Facebook. It was in the aughts. And it was just a picture of a very cute rabbit in a frying pan. And it said, if we don't raise $10,000 by Friday, we're going to eat the rabbit.
What? That's really crazy and smart.
And it worked.
Of course, it's just an image.
Look it up. Toby the Bunny.
No, I just remember the Larry the Lobster segment on Saturday Night Live where people had to call in and save Larry the Lobster.
But the way that a lot of these scams work is they prey on our desire to be helpful or our desire to be empathic.
Yes.
But the reality is, look, we all have day jobs, whatever it is, whether you're working, going to school, raising a family, trying to save a cat, you know, all these different things.
Right.
Whereas for those folks, it is their, we are their day job.
It is. It is. And they work very hard at it. It's, you know, I don't like being scammed. It's very upsetting, but I do have an admiration for the amount of hard work in whatever you do, in whatever your field is. I'm like, wow, that's taken a lot of man hours.
So what is the worst scam you've heard of?
This woman, Bella, was from Australia. She went online as a spokesperson on like Australia Today show, like all of these famous places, and spoke about how she changed and cured her cancer from her mind and thought process, which if you know, you know, if you've done the minimal research of cancer, you know that it is a, it's a collection of cells that are abnormal and can harm your body. Well, you can, you know, eat healthy, think positive thoughts, but that isn't necessarily the major defense against cancer.
Right.
And so she went on to say this, I think it was, I want to say Hodgkin's lymphoma, like something incredibly, bone cancer, something incredibly dangerous, and how she was so great. And she gave a lot of people hope. She got a lot of money. She got a lot of attention, did a lot of, sold books, like sold a cookbook about it and all of her speaking. And there was a family that had a son who was in cancer treatment. I believe they pulled him out and she went to their house repeatedly. She spent time with them. She was like a member of their family and provided them with so much hope. And then their son passed away. And then it came out that she had lied the whole time. And in her defense, she was like, but at the time, I thought I had cancer. And I was like, no. There were medical treatments and work saying you do not have cancer. You have had doctors say to you, you don't have cancer. And medically speaking, no one sees any cancer in any of your medical team. And she goes, yeah, but I thought I did. And that was her excuse. She was fully a psychotic person. I think that was the number one. I can't ever get over it.
I think maybe Trump Steaks was the biggest scam, or Trump University. I think we could do a whole, you know, you could probably do a whole season just on Trump scams.
Yeah, yeah. The airline, the vodka, a few other things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't have their own airline? But I think the Trumpness of it all, and we've had, it's so funny. We have people that say like, stay out of politics. We don't want that on our podcast, but it's literally our reality. So I'm so sorry for people that don't want to hear it. We are all in this together. But I think the Trumpness of it all is that there's a kernel, like a grain of truth that these con artists jump on, where they say like, you feel something's not right, or you feel unjust, or you feel ignored. And then they load everything else, which is all a bunch of lies and a bunch of cons and everything else. But they hold on to that one tiny grain of truth.
Yes.
And they keep repeating it.
Yeah.
And it gives people this comfort. And it's an incredible skill that these con artists do. They'll never let go of that.
That's what catfishers do. That's exactly what catfishers do. They hold on to that one thing. You want a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
I know. I wanted to talk about that with you guys. You're experts.
Let's do the catfish.
You're experts.
Well, the big thing of it is, too, is that people really, really want to believe it.
Yeah.
So when they're hearing that, they really do want to believe, in the case of catfishing, that there's just some beautiful woman who is really, really, really wants to date them, or that there's some secret cure to cancer or COVID or anything like that. It's that thing where you're really just playing on people's desires to that extent.
And hope, too. Like, maybe I could be the lucky one. It's really similar to the lottery. We've covered lottery scams. We've covered, like, gambling scams. You think like, okay, nobody wins at the slot machine, but maybe for me, I could hit that jackpot. And honestly, my grandma has won the jackpot many times. So,
for real?
Yes,
for real?
My grandmother has hit big so many times. One time she won $50,000. I think $80,000 or $45,000, like an incredible amount of money that her blood pressure went way up and I don't think has ever recovered. She's
Can we stake her the next time she goes to Vegas?
You got to follow that lady around. She bets big and she goes hard and she crushes it at the Delaware casinos. I'm not going to give anything away because I don't want anyone following my grandma around because she's tough. It could be you because you hear those stories and you're like, are you just the luckiest person in the world? And she is, but I don't know if everyone else who's currently being catfished is as lucky.
But Bo, maybe if you hack into 23andMe, you'd be able to trace to her grandmother. So, hey, let's.
Oh, I've already re-identified her grandmother. I'm just trying to be nice about it. We'll be going to Delaware next week.
Great.
It's usually the people who what they do is they're experts at watching other people play the slot machines.
Yes.
And then they wait till that person gets frustrated and goes away. And then like five slot pulls later, the money comes rushing out of the machine, you know, and then you sit there going,
and then you,
wait a minute.
You got a bet big. That's her secret.
Yeah. No, she's not wrong about that.
Are we discussing this because a casino is a scam?
No. I feel like you know what's happening at a casino. Casino knows what's happening to you. They're all like, there's very little chance for you to win and you're all going to enjoy yourselves here and drink. Like, I feel like there's a secret handshake. Unlike if you went into a store and you're like, I would like to buy this purse. And they're like, here, this purse is made out of water. And they sell you an ice purse and it melts on your way home. Like, that's a clear scam that I hope no one has experienced.
But isn't that the same with a scam, like a catfish scam?
Yes,
like,
let's get to our
kind of know. But you do kind of know. I mean, we just heard, we have an episode coming up relatively soon that is set, really sad, actually. Yeah. It was beyond sad. I mean, the guest actually referred to the person who scammed him as Voldemort. I do prefer the catfishing stories where, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you kind of know.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're in love with me, huh? Oh, really? Really in love with me, huh? Like, you've been waiting for me your entire life. That's so cool. How did you figure that out in 5 minutes?
Yeah. Well, so tell me the average catfish, what you guys have experienced, and also, what do you think is the most convincing catfish? Because I want to talk about like a 90-day fiancé. People think those people have catfished and then it seems like they're actually in love. And so I feel like there's lots of levels. You could get Stockholm syndrome. You could be a catfisher.
What about Mary, Adam? What about Mary? She was pretty convincing. That dude was sort of
something
convincing.
About Mary.
Well, what happened is someone named Mary. Of course, we then referred to it as something about Mary. And she was talking about she had linked up, as it were, with a doctor, seemed like a very respectable fellow. And he came on pretty strong, pretty early. Mm-hmm. And then he suddenly had to go overseas, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, we've raised money and we're opening a clinic here, but some of the medical equipment required for this clinic has been held up at the airport and we need money to get that equipment released from the airport. Okay. And in the back of her mind, she was saying, well, wait a minute. If you could raise enough money to open a clinic, you can't tell me that you had an additional sort of...
Did she help him raise the money for the clinic?
No.
Was she involved?
He claimed he did it all himself.
I think the clinic was in Dubai, too, which is not typically a place that you think of as being hurting for cash.
I mean, I think it's fair to say she was just looking to get laid. Yeah. That's what she said.
With her need of getting laid, how long was this relationship until he explained that? Was he in the process of raising money for this hospital when they first met? Was that sort of his backstory or did it suddenly occur?
Suddenly occurred.
It was a few weeks, right, guys? Mm-hmm. But it was a few weeks that they were kind of back and forth, and he was saying, good morning, sunshine.
Mm. Yeah, I think she said it was 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, three weeks, that was it. And I think he made the pitch, the initial pitch, like one weekend.
One weekend, that he was doing this privately on his own. When did he start asking her for money for the equipment?
I think about 1 weekend.
Oh.
No, it was a little more than that.
Yeah, a little more than that, I think.
But it was quick, and he went to Dubai, this successful doctor who was doing like basically Doctors Without Borders type stuff, and then, you know, somehow needed 15 grand magically. And she was like, no, buddy, I was just looking for a good time, not giving you 15 grand.
And then what happened when she turned him down? What happened? What was his response?
Oh, Adam, he came back and asked for a different amount.
Yeah, it was kind of like, well, if that didn't work, how about this?
Did she ever meet up with him? Or did they ever get to hook up?
No, but the interesting part was he called her twice, which is very rare. Normally, these people, they have a reason why they can't, their phone bill went, it was a problem, or their phone isn't working, or so there's always an excuse for why you can't actually hear their voice. Mm-hmm. But so there were two phone calls.
And she was weirded out by him, too.
Yeah, she said he sounded really
very young. Which seemed to be at odds with his profile.
He's probably some hot cutie, hot doctor.
He had a center a picture of a guy who looked older, looked roughly her age, okay. A little bit more age appropriate. And so when she was talking to him on the phone, I don't know if he was like, said like he was inhaling helium or something, but she was just like, this guy is a lot younger than he looked.
He sounds like a 12-year-old that has the body of a 50-year-old.
Right.
What every woman wants to hook up with. That's so funny. So then she ended it with him. Was she finished?
Yeah. I think she sent him off. And that was that. But one never knows whether he'll reappear in another incarnation through her dating site.
Right. So was this from a dating site she met him?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which site Bumble. Do you know?
I think it was Bumble, she thought it was.
It was Bumble, yeah.
It was Bumble,
and
yeah.
One of the things we were talking about in that one, too, is that Bumble has been breached in the past.
Oh.
So all 100 million of its members had their information compromised, which means that rather than having a catfisher having to go through and just look at the likely profiles, they could just take a look at a huge amount a huge list of... members there and go by age or look for specific details that they think would be
so upsetting.
Would make for a better mark.
You would call that a stumble for Bumble. But
now, would you say, have you had any of these cases where you admired the catfisher? You think they did something creative or surprising to you?
Well, I've never been catfished.
You know what? There's always time.
Yeah, let's...
Guys, if you want a catfish bow, call into ScamWow Podcast. 347-509-9414.
I would like to be, 646-555-5555. Please, give me a ring. I want to hear what you got.
Yeah.
Boobs. Yeah. 5 a.m. That's right. 5005.
Boobs.
Sometimes you will marvel at the sophistication and creativity of some of these folks.
Yes, I can't help it.
I was on a TV show a couple of years ago with, there were two women who were home health care providers and smart and in their, let's say, mid-50s. And each one of them independently, and there was no connection between the catfishers, were hit to the tune of $60,000 each.
They both paid that?
Yeah.
To their cat? Oh, yeah. As a romantic relationship?
Yeah. Well, that's what they thought they were getting into.
At the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but, you know, this person or persons tugged at their heartstrings and knew that they were, you know, based on following them in social media, that they were in the, you know, the home healthcare area and, you know, sensed as caregivers, if you send the right message, tell the right story, they'll fall for it.
Yes. And as you were sort of saying, Bo, that you can really zero in. Or I think Travis, you said, I'm sorry, that you can really zero in on those person's needs and wants. And we've talked a lot about our con artists. They ask the most perfect questions, or they bring up something or a series or a short story. And whatever the person grabs on, they're like, okay, they're a type B personality. And then there's a huge list of questions. And it's incredibly sophisticated these days what people can do. And sort of they could, like Bo, you're saying, they could continue on their list and on their FBI list and they keep going. And so I feel like it's the same with these catfishers, but it's upsetting because you know that it's someone's heart is breaking in whatever way. Either their heart are breaking that they spent all this money, or their heart is breaking that they realize that they lost a love that they put time and energy in, or they're humiliated and their heart's breaking that way, you know?
Well, in one sense, it's formulaic. In that, you know, step number one is you fall for somebody quickly. Step number two is you suddenly have drama. Step number three is they can never seem to be able to talk to you because you always come up with a reason why you can't be there or you can't communicate.
And a problem they can help you solve. So these are helpful people.
Right. And the step number four is then that's when they hit you for the money. So,
well, the really depraved one out there, it's not necessarily catfishing, but it's the missing persons scam, where there's been reports of that, of people, the families of missing persons, someone will reach out and say they have information in exchange for a fee.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, it has a lot of the similar beats to the catfishing scam, but in case of rather than trying to, you know, ensnare someone romantically, it's a lot darker than that.
But their underpinnings of like love, it kind of does go down to these huge themes and things that we care about more than anything else, which is love, connection,
security,
you know, and like if you when you figure out that that's what somebody's going to react to, two things occur. You become devil spawn.
Yes.
And you probably, you know, you forsake your place among humankind as a someone worthwhile, but you just fuck people over. And people are susceptible to that for the same reason we are. Adam, Travis, and I love each other like brothers. Mm-hmm. Right, Adam? Right, Travis?
It's bro
See,
love.
I'm kidding. Come
it's
on.
Bro love. No,
we do have bro love. But seriously, I do think that it's the sick part about it, the sociopath part about it, is that these are people who are at the lowest, this is the pond scum level, below pond scum, the muck at the bottom of the pond. They'll go after you on an emotional level. The dude I called up with the antivirus thing, that was a chop shop. That was just some dude somewhere overseas who was like taking phone calls. And if he could get someone dumb, great. And if he couldn't, who
but
cares?
But it sounds like his ego got hurt too. Like it's so interesting. Here he is conning all these people. And he was annoyed, you got something over on me. You think you got something? He really came back at you, which is fascinating because his job is to con people. And then he feels like a little duped. And boy, was
he embarrassed? No, it was like I put something gross in Joe Pesci's drink and now he's pissed off.
So upset. Have you guys heard of any sort of catfishing that went well or pause for laughter?
Well, that's how I met my wife.
I'm officiating the wedding next week.
Yes, that's like I have rehabilitated the catfisher and now we're getting married.
No, I've never
either that or let's catfish together.
Yeah, can a catfisher fall in love?
No, you just actually write it up. Write it up, Caitlin.
Write it up.
I haven't really heard of those. I mean, I had a sister who fell for a really bad scam. It was an in-person scam, and it ended up a situation with someone from Malta. True story.
Oh, I know that story. But that's
millions
that's
got transferred
story.
To this person.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, I'm
and
so sorry.
So I know firsthand how it can be.
But as I recall, you got that back.
No, we did not.
Oh, you did not.
Not only did we not get it back, but we were advised by the FBI, stay away from this guy.
Oh, like the taxi driver who said the guy will stab
you. Yeah, except
if you
the FBI
the
was serious.
Malta will stab
it
you.
It was like, it wasn't, they weren't his partner.
And it wasn't $20.
No.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
So how did your sister recover from that, if you don't mind speaking
well,
about
actually,
it?
She passed away from cancer, so she and it was toward the end of her life. So, and that's when, again, you know, you are more susceptible when people give you the right story.
Of course.
To be helpful, because you're very sad about your situation, and then you get ensnared in theirs. I mean, one of the scams that he used on her is that his child was kidnapped
and
he needed money for the kidnappers. And because
That's
his family lived in Malta, you know, these things happen. So it
as
made
they
sense.
Come, as they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Adam, that reminds me of, you know, your story, actually, Caitlin, the person who had kind of researched you and set up a website.
Yeah.
Spearfishing is another scam that's really interesting where you are sort of spearfished, where they, you know, a scammer figures out a bunch of stuff about you. So they know what you're going to react to because they know who your friends are. They know who your boss is. If you have a boss, they know what gigs you've done. If you do gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know of a person who is a television producer and I will give scant facts to keep it unidentifiable.
Of course.
And, he was sitting in his office about to wire some money, and the amount was $20,000, and the destination was to a lot in China where they actually were going to be shooting. And his executive producer walked by his door and looked in innocently. Yeah. And this person looked back thinking that he was being pressured and said, "I'm wiring the money now. Relax." Right.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Well, what money?" And he said, "You told me to send 20 grand to the lot in China." And he said, "No, I didn't."
Oh, so
someone had spoofed his email, right. Sent his part. So there was a spoof of this executive producer's email sent to his partner, the fellow who was doing the emailing, the wiring. And the only reason they caught it, it would have been gone, was that they had a bad relationship.
Wow.
And they were easily annoyed by each other.
Wow. So. You big dick. I'm sending the money over now.
There was a story about a true story. Someone who was the CEO of a portfolio company in Europe, mm-hmm. who was contacted by the CEO of the parent company, or so he thought. Mm-hmm. And it was a phone conversation he had with him. And it was a deep fake. It wasn't it wasn't the real person. And he wired $200,000 to an account. And the money was gone. And shortly after, this portfolio CEO was gone as well.
Well, yeah, you gotta put it in an offshore bank account and dip out.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't answer the phone. When people say, you know, is this Bo Friedlander? I never say yes. And the reason Adam taught me this is that because if you say yes, they can harvest that yes to be used in voice authorization
really?
Elsewhere.
Yeah, because you'll say, I never ordered that. And they'll go, really? Well, here's you saying yes when you were asked,
they record
do you want to order this?
That
so when someone says, this is Bo Friedlander, I say, who's this?
Okay, so that's really good for our listeners to hear because I have had... I mean, I've had things that it says unknown or something, and I'm waiting for a doctor's appointment or something, and maybe I'm worried about my doctor's office. So I say hello, and I immediately usually hear if it's a recording and fake, but that's very good to know, listeners. If somebody asks, is this you? Say, and who is this? Just don't say
yes. Ask who's calling. And I do it the way my mom taught me, you know, like I'm very polite. Mm-hmm. I'll say, may I ask who's calling? And then they'll generally hang up.
Yeah.
If they're not the right person.
Or as we like to say from my home state of New Jersey is, who's asking?
How's your mother?
Yeah, what's wrong with your mother?
Your mother's calling.
What's it to you?
But, you know, and another thing that people have to be really careful of, and so many people fall for this, is they get a phone call from, they presume it's their financial institution, and the caller even identifies themselves as being from their financial institution and may even say,
yes,
this is your credit card number, right? And you go, yes. And this is your expiration date. And you go, yes. And they say, well, just to confirm you're you, because we think there might be fraudulent activity on your account, could you please give us the security code on the back of your card? And
yes.
That's like, oops.
Because they're missing that piece. Because they're missing that one.
Because you can
never authenticate yourself to anyone who contacts you for any reason. If you're contacting them, you know, if you're contacting them and they ask you to confirm something, that's different because they're trying to protect you.
Right. Because you have done that sort of, you've done that back and forth with them when I've called my bank or had to put something on hold or I thought somebody compromised my credit card. Then they ask for all the information. I'm calling the bank. I'm speaking with the person. The phone number's on the back of my, you know, other credit card that I haven't lost. And so you're used to that formality or used to like that, you know, callback of like, this is it. This is, and you go through all like the boring things and this is my birth date and this is all the boring facts about me. So it is really common for, if somebody gets that call, maybe you're distracted, maybe you can't hear very well, and you think it's your financial institution, you say that response that you're so used to giving. But what we hear time and time again, it's always great to remember, and I want to tell listeners and my family, like everyone, that your financial institution won't usually call you, or the FBI isn't going to call you, or the Department of Treasury isn't going to personally call you. It's almost always a formal letter. They're also not going to email you usually. And what you can do is from a separate phone line or a separate account, call that place separately, hang up, you know, delete the email, and then reach out to your bank separately or contact the Department of Treasury separately and do it from your end and in your control and then ask them and almost always, it is always really never them. It's always a scam.
Right.
Well, one of the things that can make that even harder is when you get a message by text or a SMS.
That's the problem there.
Because with a phone call, in a lot of cases, if you can take a beat and say, this sounds a little bit fishy, mm-hmm. like I don't really trust this. That's one thing. But if you just happen to get a little notification on your phone saying, hey, that Amazon.com package is ready. Then you click and then they're off to the races. So.
I know.
That's how the dude that got mad that I was messing with him, he sent me one of those Amazon things.
About we should SMS. Call him right now and say, you know what? This is the place. Let's if you want to shine, Bo's your guy. Tell us, how'd you get involved in these scams? This is your place.
Well, I have to say there
give
is
him all
a reply.
Of our phone numbers. He's lonely.
Does this mean that Margot Robbie didn't call me last week?
No, Adam, she called you. She's fun. I like her.
Oh, really?
She called you.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, my cat said you didn't want to hear any more scam stories. Really?
It's getting depressing.
All right. So, you know, catfishing. Now we're back to cats. Catfishing. Travis actually found out where the term catfishing comes from. Oh. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I assumed it was some sort of thing like actually involving catfishing or something from like the Louisiana Bayou or whatever. No, it's a documentary that came out in 2010 that introduced it.
Oh.
Then MTV in 2012 had a show called Catfishing about catfishing.
Oh, that MTV.
No, but about the fish tank. No, the fish tank thing.
Yeah,
there's
a myth that the reason why the 2010 documentary was called that was because there's a myth saying that cod can be transported and will be more healthy when they're being transported if they're being transported along with a catfish.
Cod and a catfish.
Cod and a catfish.
Are we all just cods waiting to be transported with a catfish?
I mean, it's terrifying, isn't it? Really annoying.
But it's also, I guess it's comforting. We're all a little bit cod and we all need to be coddled.
In cod we trust, you know. So.
Oh, in cod. I don't know, man. I don't want to be a cod. They have worms. Ugh.
Sorry, we're cods.
Okay. Blubble, blubble.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So with this catfishing, are there things that you would say to your close family members, your friends, like, please look out for this? This is a really common thing we see that catfishers have done.
Yeah, these are basically, there's just a few things. Number one, if you're starting to communicate with somebody online, mm-hmm. and within an extremely short period of time, they go from, hi, how are you, to, hello, my precious pussycat. You know, that's where you need to be a little concerned, or
you do.
Within a few days, they want to have your child, or they want you to be the father of whatever.
As flattering as it is.
There it is. Be yeah. careful. Secondly,
okay.
If they suddenly become a drama king or queen.
Okay.
You know, all of a sudden their child was kidnapped, or they had a medical emergency within a very short period of time and it came out of nowhere, and, you know, they use that as an excuse for why they can't see you. If right. there are problems with them being able to connect with you, like, mm-hmm. I really wanted to come, but I couldn't because my money ran out, or my phone died and I can't communicate with you, or all of a mm-hmm. sudden I can't do FaceTime with you and I don't know why, there's a problem with my computer. You know, these are the kinds of things to look out for. And then when they try to hit you up for money, that is the, mm-hmm. That's the killer right there. Especially it comes within a relatively short period of time.
Yeah. They'll never meet you in person. Right. They won't.
Yes, but they're, And one of the things you can do is take some of the lines that they throw out at you and Google them. Google them, because you might find—
That's great advice.
A lot of people who will—
Right, the script.
You know, post this and then talk about it. One thing for sure, when people think they've been wronged, they mm-hmm. get very loud online. Yeah.
But they're also working from scripts, Adam. So they probably, it is possible to Google some of these things.
Oh, absolutely. You can. Right. So yeah. That's important. And, you know, if they ask you for instance, you know, I'll send you my pictures.
Money.
Why don't you send me yours? Be very right. careful, because what they could be trying to do is get you to do compromising photographs and then use
yeah,
that
to extort you.
To for blackmail.
Blackmail you. So
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But any request for money too.
Money
obviously.
Or personal yeah. identifiable information, like, you know, could you at least give me your credit card number, because I'd like to buy a ticket to come visit you. And instead of wiring mm-hmm. me the money through Western Union, which I know is a real pain, why don't you just give me your mm-hmm. credit card information? You know, these are—
Well, also just, you know, the other thing is, like, I have young daughters who have had experience with creeps trying to
yeah.
get over on them. And you know, one of the things that I tell them to do, which is difficult because they are on social media, is to never post anything that will give some indication of the neighborhood they live in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And, you know, so that, you know, because if somebody is getting in stalker mode, they are going to be very good at what's called open source intelligence, which means that they're going to look at posts that are publicly facing.
Okay.
And through that, they'll figure out, like, oh, I see that building in the background of that selfie, which you have four selfies in that same spot. And I can see from that you live in Duluth.
That's very interesting.
But Bo, isn't it also true that if you don't disable location services when you take digital photographs,
sure, of course,
you're telling them when you took the photograph and where you took it?
Mm-hmm. Depends. But if you have, yes, there's certainly information embedded in a lot of different media that can give people a lot of stuff. And so Adam talks a lot about something called the 3 M's that is, I think, useful here. It's minimize your risk of attack, minimize your attackable service, monitor your stuff, and then if something happens, manage the damage. But in this instance, it's really all about minimizing, mm-hmm. right, Adam?
No, it's totally about minimizing, and it's never giving away too much information and never providing anything that could be a clue
yeah.
as to your personal identifiable information. And heaven knows, with breaches being the third certainty in life behind death and taxes, there's enough information yeah. out there about us. One trick of the trade really is, when you set up security questions and answers, lie like a superhero.
Okay.
I mean, Bruce Wayne does not tell people he's Batman, and Clark Kent doesn't run around saying, look, the S on my chest. They lie. They lie to protect who they are. And that's why when you answer questions and they say, what's your mother's maiden name? If it's Smith, say Jones. If they ask you what your high school was, tell them you went to Sky High as opposed to where you went. No one is going to conduct a background investigation on you as if you're getting a national security clearance here. All they care about is when they ask you a question, the answer you give is consistent with the answer you gave. So it's about consistency, not veracity.
I'll forget it all. I forget everything. I forget my own last name. I was wondering, too, with all of this, I have gone on and I have searched like my name and searched to see what comes up. And they have these services of like clear your information or sign up here to delete everything. Have you guys heard of that being successful, or is that also a scam?
It's not a scam, but it's iffy.
Yeah.
With a lot of these services, what they do is they say, we will clear this off. We will get rid of this subscription. We'll delete that account. But you need to actually give that company the your information.
Oh, not even money. So you just give it all.
Right. So unless you can tell them very specific, or unless they can tell you very specifically what they do with their privacy policy, that's something where you're technically giving away your data with the aim of getting your data off of the internet.
Wow.
Now, also, you know, you have a lot of millennial listeners who are on social media a lot, and there are services that some people use which track follows and unfollows and don't forget that in order for that service to work, you have to give them the password to your account. And when you do that, you're giving your password. You might as well just write it on a piece of paper and let it go in Central Park.
Right.
No, better yet.
Because you have no idea.
Do skywriting.
I knew you were going there.
If you're at Sky High University,
the other one that's
graduate of Sky High High School, you've got to just skywrite. Well, I also think like there's the what's my top 10 posts of 2021, and all of these programs are keeping your password.
Well, and not to mention the fact that you're surrounded by 26, Travis, correct me if I'm wrong, but 26 to 30 billion Internet of Things devices worldwide and growing.
How do I protect myself and not go crazy? I'm like already,
The 3 M's.
We just say one thing, the 3 M's. Okay. But Adam, before you do them, there's one thing I guarantee you. We know this for a fact because every year the percentage is so high. There's studies every year, and the percentages are like nuts high of people who use the same password on different accounts.
Yes.
And dumbass passwords too.
Yeah.
So the best thing that you can do is either if you're feeling like you want to set it and forget it, get a subscription for a password manager and then let it take care of you. Get a great reviewed one and let it do the work for you. Or just, you got to up your game. You got to have better password hygiene.
You do that.
Because that, to me, is the number one thing.
And you have to use multi-factor authentication. And the reason is could have the most indecipherable password possible. But if that password is discovered.
Right?
Because there are some sites that tend to leave it in clear text as opposed to using military-grade encryption. Yeah. And as a result, the hackers get their hands on that password. And let's face it, most user ID tend to be your email address, which is out there.
Yes.
So combine your email address with a discovered password and you're going to be exposed. So you've got to do multi-factor authentication. You have to monitor. You have to have a program that monitors you on the dark web. You need to freeze your credit. It's not all that difficult. It's a little time consuming at the beginning.
Okay.
And you have to do it with each of the three reporting agencies, but freezing your credit will take away one big avenue of identity theft and fraud, which is opening new accounts.
Huge. Well, it doesn't get you out of the, you know, sending someone money because you want to have sex with them.
No, but, you know, we talk a lot about if we only had more laws. Well, the answer is that no law is going to stop you.
I don't think that's always the answer, no.
No law is going to stop you from clicking on the wrong link or right. using
or
silly
passwords. Or stop you from getting tricked.
Yes.
And
or stop you from getting tricked,
yeah,
Adam.
I mean, it's just, you know, as we say, sometimes it's just dumb or mm-hmm. you want to believe or, gosh, it really looked legitimate and it made mm-hmm. sense at the time.
Oh, like yeah.
COVID scams, unemployment scams, job right. search scams, right. Student benefit yep. scams, these kinds of things, you know.
Well, how do you think, so we had an episode where someone had an unemployment scam happen to them on What the Heck, where she got a credit card in the mail, a prepaid card, and it was unemployment benefits, $3,000 worth of unemployment benefits. How did she get hacked again? Do we know?
Well, no,
was it just her email floating in the wind?
How they got her information. But they got her information and they applied for unemployment compensation in Colorado and Ohio. So,
but did she get that money?
Well,
no.
she threw the card away. She threw the card away because she tossed it. She thought it was just some, you know, pre-approved come on.
So how can Caitlin know that she didn't have somebody do that to her?
How do I get that $3,000? Where's her card and is she giving it away?
Well, we'll try to find it for you.
We have to go to Colorado.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go anywhere. I'm so broke. Guys, this is so helpful, so generous, and I really appreciate everything that you've been telling our listeners and me, and I got to go change every single password right now because, surprise, they're all the same because I'm lazy.
Caitlin, if I can just throw something else out, and that is, you know, get your credit reports, look at your credit reports.
I do that, yeah.
And look in particular, not for what you did, but what you didn't do.
Yes.
Or you didn't know that you did.
These days, I notice every penny because I'm like, once I called the supermarket and was like, they charged me. This is right when my son was born. And I was so upset and called them and went and was like, there was $21 charged. And I forgot that I went there that morning because I was so sleep deprived and I had a newborn.
I'm embarrassingly
on top of it that people would like me to stop being on top of it. But yes.
Monitor your credit scores, because if they take a sudden precipitous drop, either it's because you didn't pay a bill, you're using too much of your credit, or mm-hmm. you're a victim of identity theft. Sign up for transaction
alerts. And they can be tiny charges.
I know, they're tiny. There was a Travelocity or Expedia pop-up that happened to a bunch of people that was part of Expedia or Orbitz or some shitty, whatever, travel site. I pressed the okay to get it to get away, and it turns out it signed me up for $12 to like $24 a month for years, and I had
that
no idea.
That can happen.
And yep. I called them, and they're like, well, you approved this. It was back in 2002 or whatever, and I was like, well, I was 18, and I had no idea what I was doing, and that is fraudulent, and they refunded me all of my money back. So also you can call out these companies when you think it's something like, well, maybe this legit company or it's something where you did use that service. If you believe that it was fraudulent, you can call their customer service. You can complain to them. And usually on customer service lines, they can only hang up the call if you say, okay, I agree, or okay, that's fine with me. If you say, I do not agree, I would like to speak to your manager. I would like to speak to the next operator. I would like to speak to somebody else in charge. And you usually can find a solution to the answer. And if you say, like, I'm going to report you and I'm going to report this and I'll find a lawyer if I have to. These companies, there's a level of like shade that they know that they're doing and they don't want to be put out there in the press and they don't want to be canceled and all of this stuff. So I say everybody, even if you think it's, you know, something like a Travelocity card or something that seems like a real actual company, they can still try and slip, you know, those $18 away from you once a month, and you have every right to call them out.
There goes your Travelocity ad.
One last piece of advice, which I do think is very helpful, and that is a lot of people don't realize that through their insurance company and credit unions more than banks and through their employer, there are programs available to help you through cyber and identity and credit incidents.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it usually will be an endorsement to your homeowner or auto policy. Sometimes they'll just include it. And for employers, through the HR department, as part of employee benefits programs, either employer paid or voluntary benefits, they will make these programs available, deeply discounted, or in some cases, even free. So you should check with your insurance agent, your bank rep, or your HR department and say, do you have a program? Am I in it? If not, what do I need to do to get in it? And what's it going to cost me?
I'm sure there's all those like pieces of paper you get when you first are hired. You're like, I'll never need this. Then you listen to our podcast and you do need it, honey bun.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to our guests. Thank you, producer Kate and Jess. And I just adore all of you. And if you ever want to share your experience with us, if you've been catfished, if you maybe were a catfish, spoiler alert, we have an amazing episode that might destroy us in the best way coming out. So if you're not already subscribed, we have some really exciting episodes coming out that I cannot wait for you guys to see. Teaser, I might be speaking with a professional catfish. I can't say for sure. I am just too excited. This is incredible. But I want to say thank you again to our guests. And my heart is out there for anybody who has been catfished. And if you're new to our podcast, we do mailbag episodes where we share stories and emails from all of you. And you can find us on social media at ScamWow Podcast, or you can call us, because you know I love a phone call, on our Hot Tip Hotline, which is 347-509-9414. Or you can email us at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear your stories, share your warning signs, let us know any of this experience if you've had it, because this is the way that we all support each other in this community. And I can't thank you guys enough. And I'll see you next week. It's going to be nuts. Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side passage?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.